morning.
Has joined.
Morning.
You're the first to arrive, so I'm going to give it another minute or so, but then we'll begin.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I'm going to be doing different things these days, but the important thing is to hear the Torah reading.
Okay.
As a quick quick item to start with, I'm going to just start and explain a little bit about the 18 morning blessings, one blessing at a time, maybe two. The first blessing is basically talking about a rooster and his ability to discern between day and night. And that's just the physical level. The real essence of the blessing is to be able to discern and be able to perceive the differences between truth and lie, between darkness and light, between evil and good, between the inner essence and the outer essence. All of these different aspects of discernment are helped when we say this following blessing. Baruch Ata Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo Eloheinu Melech Haolam Anotein Lashech Vivina Lechavchin Ben Yom Uvein Laila. And everyone says Amen.
Amen.
It's more important for people to say Amen than for me to say the blessing. The English translation of this, these words, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, the King of the world, who gives the rooster the understanding to distinguish between day and night. Now we're going to read the verses from the Torah, which today being the fourth day of Sukkot, which is the second day of Chol HaMoed, we will be reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 29, verses 20 to 28. And we will start with the Lashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha b'rishu ishkinte b'tchilu urchimu tchilu tchilu urchimu li'ahta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah Vayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Elena Masse Adenu Kunene Elena Masse Adenu Kunenehu. Verse 20. Uvayom Hashelishi Parim Ashte Asar Elim Shenayim Kvasim Bnei Shana Arba'a Asar Tamimim Umin Chatam Veniskehem Liparim La'elim b'lachvasim b'misparam ka'bishpat U'zir ha'tat echat milvad olad ha'tamid b'min chata v'niska. We read three verses that represents the aliyah for the Cohen for this morning. The essence of these verses is to begin the consciousness of chesed, of sharing, of loving kindness for the other nations. The second portion that is read also has three verses, and its harsh portion is literally the sacrifices of certain animals, all representing different aspects. Oh, this is verse 23. Uvayom harvi parim asara elim shenayim kivasim b'nei shana arba'a asar tamimim min chatam b'niskechem laparim le'elim b'lachvasim b'misparam Kamishpat Ushir Izim Ehad Hataat Milvad Olat Atamid Min Hata Veniska. The third verse portion, which is the Aliyah of the Israeli, also has three verses, verse 26. Uvayom hachamishi parim tisha Elim Shanaim Kivasim Bnei Shana Arba'a Asar Tamimim Unmin Min Chatam Beniskehem Laparim La'elim Wilach Vasim Bemisparam Kamishpat Ushnei usir hatat echad milvad olad hatamid umin chatav niska. Now the fourth verse, the fourth aliyah, which is the Malchut, you're going to find very interesting, but I'm not going to explain it until we get to the English translations of all that we read. But we start again back with verse 20 in the fourth Aliyah. And we're going to read through to verse 25, which is essentially what the first three did. We started at verse 20. We read three verses to 20, 21, and 22. Then the second Aliyah, we read 23, 24, and 25. And in the third, we read 26, 27, and 28, which is a way of tying today's reading to tomorrow's reading, as you will find out tomorrow. But the fourth Aliyah starts back with verse 20, and we'll be reading through verse 25. And if you count that, it's six verses, which connects to Zeranpin, the sharing consciousness, the sharing aspect of the male. Uvayom ha-shlishi parim ha-shte asar elim shenayim kivastim b'nei shana arba'a asar tamimim umin chatam v'niskehem la-parim la-elim v'lach v'sim Bamisparam Tamishpat Ushir Hatat Echad Milvad Olad Hatamid Umin Hata Veniska Uvayom Harvi Parimasara Elim Shanaim Kivasim b'nei shana arba'a asar temimim. Min chatam b'nis kelim laparim la'elim lachvasim b'mispara kamishpat uzir izim echad. Chata'at milvad olat, ha'tamid min chata v'nizka. Now, let's read the English translation. Some of it is just, it's just animals, but it's more than just animals. And on the third day, which was yesterday, so why are we talking about the third day? Why do we start? And you'll begin to understand. On the third day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs. In the first year, all unblemished. The 11 bulls were sharing energy to 11 nations. No, we don't know which of the 11 nations, but we know in the 7 days we're going to share with all 70 nations. But the 2 rams and the 14 lambs represent 16 animals, literally representing direct light and returning light, because the 2 rams represent males, and the 14 lambs represent 2 sets of 7. The lambs are female, the rams are male. And what is their purpose to be sacrificed along with the bulls? Because the energy that we're sharing needs to be a complete structure. And the complete structure is 8. The 7 lower sephirot, which is our physical world, and the 8th, which is Bina, which is Olam Haba, the world that is coming. But the structure cannot be just in one direction. It cannot be just from top to bottom. It also must be returning from bottom to top. because that's what completes the structure. And without this additional 16 animals, the 11 bulls, would that energy would dissipate. So verse 21, and their meal offerings and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, according to their number, as prescribed. Elsewhere, and not in our readings for Sukkot, but in generally in the book of Leviticus, it explains that every time you shecht, you slaughter in the kosher manner an animal, when you're making the sacrifice, you also need to provide for the other worlds, not just the animal world, but the plant world, which is what the offerings are, which is the matzah. It's actually matzah, so it's a grain, it's a plant, and the wine, which is representing different aspects of the left column. Verse 22, and one young male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its meal offering, and its libation. You're doing a mitzvah. You're sacrificing these animals. You're sharing the energy of these animals. Why do you need a sin offering? Because you are killing one of God's creations. Yes, he's telling us to do it, but that doesn't mean that we don't have the responsibility to recognize that shechting, slaughtering for our needs is changing some aspect of creation that God created. He created living things. He didn't create dead things. And this is something to contemplate as what is our responsibility with respect to man. The 23rd verse. On the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in the first year, unblemished. This is the same structure, except it's not 11 bulls, it's only 10. This is the fourth day. This is the number 10. So in its essence, what we're reading is 2 days at once. And what does this tell us? What does this teach us? That there are many different thoughts on what that teaches us. Why do we do 2 days? But it's to create continuity, that there is a sharing aspect, that they're not separated. Each day is on its own, but each day is part of the Shabbat, part of the week. The 7 days of the week are all connected, and each week is connected to the week before and the week after. Verse 24 seems to be a duplicate of verse 21. Their meal offerings and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, according to their number as prescribed. Is it a duplicate? Yes, but it's not a duplicate because it's in a different location in the Torah. Every day is unique. But every day, I might do exactly the same structure of blessings and prayers and mitzvot and actions and good deeds, but they're different because I'm doing them on a different day. The 25th pasuk. And one young male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its meal offering, and its libation. The word libation is talking about wine. The meal offering is talking about matzah. Matzah isn't allowed to rise. And I have one additional item that I would like to teach you today. I hope you'll appreciate it. I just have to find it again because I had it. Last night we read that today, being the 18th day of Tishrei, is the Hilulah, the day of elevation, the day of joy, for Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. So I would like to read something from a blog celebrating Rabbi Nachman. The blog's name is Shirat Dvorah, and I have found her to be excellent in what she writes. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's Histalkut, his ascent from the body, took place in Uman, a Ukrainian town in Kiev. In the province of Kiev, on the 18th of Tishrei, which is the second day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, in the year 5571, which was 1810. According to his express wish, Rabbi Nachman was buried in the old Jewish cemetery, together with more than 20,000 martyrs of the Haidamak massacres of 1768. His surviving family members included his second wife, who built over his grave the original Ohel, the wooden structure that accommodates those who wish to pray nearby. His daughters, Adele, Sarah, Miriam, and Chaya, and several grandchildren. And according to one tradition, his father, Rabbi Simcha, survived him as well. It is customary for Breslover Hasidim to gather together on Chai Tishrei in order to commemorate the Rebbe's Yortzeit, or Hilulah. As is commonly the case in the Breslov community, there are no special minhagim, customs, associated with this event, other than lighting a Yortzeit candle, giving tzedakah in Rabbi Nachman's memory, and engaging in the study of Rabbi Nachman's writings. Here is an essay by a Rav Ephraim Kinig Shlita titled "The Levels of Tzaddikim," and it's teachings from Rabbi Nachman's writings. The world is divided into groups. Tzaddikim are also divided into different groups. There are tzaddikim in the category of Yesod Olam, the foundation of the world, and there are tzaddikim on a lower level. Yet the world's existence completely depends upon all of them. The Holy Zohar explicitly states that the highest level in each generation is that of Moses. Afterwards, there are 36 tzaddikim called the Lamed Vav tzaddikim. And according to the Zohar, there are 36 in the land of Israel and 36 outside of the land of Israel, for a total of 72 tzaddikim. And I should say that we need to understand that each of these levels is actually a host. It's actually a group, and the concept of the host, which in Hebrew is tzivaot, is a very significant teaching that we don't have time to do today. The entire world stands in their merit, of these tzaddikim, inside and outside of the land of Israel, since without them the world could not exist. The Zohar mentions other examples, such as the category of 10,000 tzaddikim who are on a lower level. Nonetheless, the world requires all of these tzaddikim to exist. We also need to place ourselves in some sort of category of tzaddikim. You may ask yourself, why do I need to call myself a tzaddik or a tzaddeket? Don't forget that we were born to carry out a specific mission. So it is not a matter of what we want or what we don't want. It is not merely a one-time task, like when someone says to you, go bring this envelope to someone. Rather, it is a mission involving your entire being and everything connected to you. Your entire life is no more than a simple shluchut, a simple mission. For example, someone says to you, get on a plane, travel to a certain place, and do this particular thing. You will be well aware of why you are in that particular place, since it is part of your mission. You'll also take care not to damage anything in the process of carrying it out. Nonetheless, at the same time, you still feel something from yourself, since despite being on a mission, you still need to eat, sleep, travel, accomplish, etc. In other words, with whatever you do in the world, whether sleeping, eating, making money, praying, putting on tefillin, or any of the other mitzvot, it is all one big mission. And this is the most truthful way to think about ourselves, since we have no other function in the world besides our divinely given mission. Unfortunately, most of us don't know what that is. You may ask, what is my mission? The answer lies in knowing that everything is connected to the kavod, the honor of Hashem. Since He created the world to reveal His glory, before the world came into being, there was no one to reveal His kavod. And after the creation, it is our mission to reveal the kavod. When you feel some deficiency, it is a signal that there is some sort of shortcoming in the revelation of Hashem's kavod. The more we reveal His kavod, the less lack we will feel. Hashem created us with all of our materiality to serve as a foundation in this world for Him, and to elevate our divine awareness until we clearly realize we have no other function than to see the divine in every detail of life. Everything should bring us closer to the knowledge that there is a creator in the world who desires something from us. If it is against the Torah, it is not the desire of Hashem. Every step we take in life should bring us closer to a mindset that nothing exists beyond our appointed function in the world. Bringing children into the world, working in whatever area Hashem has brought us, or any other life situation, is all part of our mission to reveal what Hashem desires. Delving deeper, we will sense how limited our understanding is. This is when to pour out our hearts. Ribono shel Olam, heal us so we can reveal your kavod. Give us livelihood so we can magnify your kavod in this world. Redeem us from the oppression of outside influences so we can carry out our mission. The emphasis should be in this direction, rather than driven by the desire to shed the discomfort of exile. Thinking this way makes us more complete and less demanding of space and self-importance. When we achieve such a level, Rabbi Nachman promises that we will experience no lack. Obviously, this is a process, but we must begin. This is a commentary I want to make on this paragraph. Redeem us from the oppression of outside influences. Remember that the process of redemption is the process. It's a step-by-step process. And the initial process, literally, there will be no change in anything except that Israel, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, will no longer be under the influence, the oppression of the 70 nations. When we share the energy of these 70 sacrifices with the other nations, we are demonstrating either we are under their influence and they are causing us to do this, or we are doing this by free choice. And if we are doing this by free choice, we are outside of their influence. The choice is ours. We just have to realize that we have that choice. I'm continuing to read Rabbi Nachman's teachings through this essay. This is all connected to Rabbi Nachman's concept of a self-generated shadow that blocks our own Shefa. Every day, the ability to prevent its creation can be drawn from the power of Moses and his humility. Since he is the primary soul in which we are all rooted, Rabbi Nachman describes how the influence of Moses is found within every limb of our body, reminding us to perform the mitzvah associated with that particular limb. This point of humility is also there, waiting to be developed. It is this point that will help us better understand how to remove our sense of somethingness and feel much more authentic. Most think that kavod and happiness are found by taking up more space in the world, as if this is the purpose of life. However, this point of humility will save us from being distracted or thrown off by the attractions of the physical world. May Hashem help us be encompassed in the humility of Moses so that we will be able to receive an abundant influx of everything good in this world, as well as all the other worlds we will witness in the future. This blessing very much depends upon us. When we repair ourselves, we repair the entire universe. By drawing divine awareness into the world, so everyone will know there is only Hashem, and we will experience the good of the world that is coming in this world as well. That's the end of our morning. I said it would be about 30 minutes, and it turned out to be about 32 minutes, 37 minutes with the delay of people coming a little late. That's not a criticism, it's just a description. But it just gives you an idea of what we will be doing every day. And it is my intention most days to continue this even after Sukkot. We may not have Torah readings, but there are much that we could learn from various aspects. And each day I will try and provide that. Does anyone have any questions?
No, sir, just a comment. This is really a great enlightenment. Thank you so much for presenting that to us.
You're very welcome. Everyone, may you all have a beautiful day.
And now, when's the next class today?
We'll be at, it's 11 o'clock West Coast time, so that would be 12 o'clock Mountain time and 1 o'clock your time.
Okay.
2 o'clock my time.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Shalom. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.